Here is a detailed podcast episode on the research paper Fourier-Laplace Transforms in Polynomial Ornstein-Uhlenbeck Volatility Models. Welcome to our podcast, where we dive deep into the latest groundbreaking research. I'm Tom, and joining me today is my co-host, Jane.
Hey there! Today we're exploring a fascinating paper that uncovers new insights into stochastic volatility modeling using Fourier-Laplace Transforms. The paper is titled Fourier-Laplace Transforms in Polynomial Ornstein-Uhlenbeck Volatility Models and was authored by Eduardo Abi-Jaber, Sean, Xiaoyuan, Li, and Zuyang Lin.
This paper tackles an important challenge in quantitative finance, how to effectively model and price options in complex stochastic volatility environments. The researchers demonstrate that Fourier techniques, which have traditionally been limited to specific continuous stochastic volatility models, can actually be extended to a much broader class of flexible models.
That's right, Tom. The key innovation here is that the authors consider a class of polynomial Ornstein-Uhlenbeck, or OU, volatility models. In these models, the volatility of the log price is expressed as a power series of an Ornstein-Uhlenbeck process. This allows for much more expressive and realistic volatility dynamics compared to simpler affine models.
Exactly. The Ornstein-Uhlenbeck process is a fundamental building block in stochastic volatility modeling, as it captures the mean reverting behavior often observed in real-world financial data. By representing the volatility as a polynomial function of the OU process, the authors create a flexible framework that can accommodate a wide range of volatility patterns.
And what's really exciting is that the researchers are able to derive analytical expressions for the joint Fourier-Laplace transform of the log price and the integrated variance process. This is a crucial quantity for option pricing and hedging.
That's right, Jane. Typically, Fourier techniques have been limited to specific affine models where the characteristic function of the log price is known in closed form. But the authors show that by exploiting the structure of the polynomial OU volatility models, they can still obtain a tractable representation of the joint Fourier-Laplace transform.
The key insight is that this transform can be expressed in terms of the solution to an infinite-dimensional system of Riccati ordinary differential equations. Now, solving such an infinite-dimensional system might seem daunting, but the authors have some clever tricks up their sleeve.
Absolutely. First, they establish a verification result, showing that if there exists a solution to the Riccati system satisfying certain conditions, then the joint Fourier-Laplace transform takes on a nice affine form. This is a crucial step in bridging the gap between the probabilistic model and the analytical tractability required for Fourier pricing.
Then, the researchers tackle the existence of a solution to the Riccati system. They cleverly relate the logarithm of the Fourier-Laplace transform to the solution of the Riccati equations, provided that the transform doesn't vanish. This allows them to construct the solution in a systematic way.
And to make the numerical implementation even more accessible, the authors develop an approximation procedure. They show that by discretizing the Ornstein-Uhlenbeck process, they can obtain a sequence of entire functions that converge to the true Fourier-Laplace transform. This is a brilliant move that sidesteps the challenges of dealing with the infinite-dimensional Riccati system directly.
The real power of this work is that it enables Fourier pricing techniques to be applied to a much broader class of stochastic volatility models, including some celebrated ones like the one-factor Bergomi model and the recently introduced Quintic OU model.
Absolutely. The Bergomi model, for instance, has been shown to fit the SPX miles very well, but it has traditionally been difficult to price options efficiently using Fourier methods. This paper changes the game, allowing for fast and accurate pricing in these more flexible volatility frameworks.
And the Quintic OU model is particularly exciting, as it has demonstrated exceptional capabilities in jointly fitting the SPX and VIX volatility surfaces. Being able to leverage Fourier techniques for this model opens up new possibilities for option trading and risk management.
Definitely. The authors also provide extensive numerical experiments, showcasing the efficiency and accuracy of their approach. They're able to successfully calibrate both the Bergomi and Quintic OU models to real market data, highlighting the stability and robustness of their numerical method.
This is a truly remarkable piece of work, Tom. The researchers have not only expanded the theoretical foundations of Fourier pricing, but they've also made it practically viable for a much broader class of stochastic volatility models. I can see this having a significant impact on how options are priced and hedged in the industry.
Absolutely, Jane. This paper is a testament to the power of blending expert financial and mathematical insights with cutting-edge computational techniques. It's a great example of how rigorous research can unlock new possibilities and transform the way we approach complex problems in quantitative finance.
Well said, Tom. This was a fascinating deep dive into an important piece of research. I'm sure our listeners have a much deeper appreciation for the technical elegance and practical relevance of this work on Fourier-Laplace transforms in polynomial Ornstein-Uhlenbeck volatility models.
Definitely. There's a lot more we could unpack, but I think we've given our audience a great overview of the key ideas and implications. It's been a pleasure exploring this research with you, Jane. Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of finance with us.
Thanks, Tom. Bye for now, everyone.
Are you tired of the same old stochastic volatility models that just can't seem to capture the true complexity of the markets?
Introducing Polynomatic, the revolutionary new volatility modeling platform that harnesses the power of Fourier-Laplace transforms and polynomial Ornstein-Uhlenbeck processes.
With Polynomatic, you can finally say goodbye to those boring affine models and hello to a whole new world of volatility dynamics.
Want to fit the SPX and VIX surfaces like a boss? Polynomatic's Quintic OU model is the answer to your prayers.
Need to price options in the Bergomi model without losing your mind? Polynomatic's got your back with its lightning-fast Fourier pricing engine.
And the best part? Polynomatic was developed by a team of finance PhDs who are clearly way smarter than you.
So why settle for mediocre volatility models when you can let Polynomatic do the heavy lifting? Visit polynomatic.com and unleash the power of polynomial OU today.
Polynomatic, because your portfolio deserves more than just linear algebra.
Here is a detailed podcast episode on the research paper evaluating production planning in control systems in different environments, a comparative simulation study, less than intro greater than. Welcome to the Curiosity Lab podcast, where we investigate the latest scientific discoveries with intrigue and depth. I'm your host, Tom.
And I'm Jen. In this episode, we'll be diving into a fascinating study that compares the performance of different production planning and control systems across various manufacturing environments.
The paper we'll be discussing is titled Evaluating Production Planning in Control Systems in Different Environments, a Comparative Simulation Study, authored by Wolfgang Seiringer, Balvin Bocco, and Altendorfer Klaus.
This research explores a critical challenge that manufacturers face, selecting the right production planning and control system for their unique operational environment. The findings provide valuable insights into how these systems perform under different conditions, helping companies make more informed decisions.
The key takeaway is that the optimal production planning and control system can vary significantly depending on the structure of the manufacturing facility and the planned workload. Let's dive in and unpack the details of this insightful study, less than, intro greater than less than body greater than.
The researcher's main goal was to evaluate the performance of three widely used production planning and control systems, material requirements planning, MRP, reorder point system, RPS, and constant work in progress, CONWIP. Across a range of different manufacturing environments.
To do this, they developed a detailed simulation model that incorporated three distinct production system structures, a flow shop, a hybrid shop, and a job shop. Each of these structures had a different level of complexity in terms of the materials flow and machine requirements.
Additionally, the researchers looked at how the planned shop load, or the expected utilization of the production system, impacted the performance of these planning and control systems. They tested three different planned shop load levels, 85%, 90%, and 95%.
So in total, the researchers created nine unique manufacturing environments by combining the three production system structures with the three planned shop load levels. This allowed them to really dive deep into understanding how the planning and control systems performed in different situations.
Let's start by looking at the three production planning and control systems they evaluated. MRP is a push-based system that uses forecasts and customer orders to plan production. It involves a centralized planning process with four key steps: netting, lot sizing, backward scheduling, and bill of materials explosion.
RPS, on the other hand, is a pull-based system that authorizes production based on reaching a reorder point for each item. It uses an economic order quantity model to determine optimal order quantities. RPS is a decentralized system, with each item having its own reorder point and lot size.
And then there's CONWIP, which is also a pull-based system. It limits the total work in progress throughout the manufacturing system by controlling the release of new orders. CONWIP uses a centralized order release mechanism, with production orders prioritized based on due date and constrained by a system-wide work in progress cap.
Each of these systems has its own unique characteristics and planning parameters. For example, MRP requires item-level parameters like safety stock, lot sizes, and planned lead times. RPS uses item-level reorder points and lot sizes. ConWIP, on the other hand, has system-level parameters like the work-in-progress gap and the work-ahead window.
The researchers really dove deep into understanding how to optimally configure each of these systems for the different manufacturing environments. They conducted a full factorial simulation study, testing thousands of different parameter combinations to find the sweet spot for each PPCS in each environment.
The results of their analysis are quite fascinating. First, they found that RPS consistently underperformed compared to both MRP and ConWIP across all the manufacturing environments. This is because RPS lacks the demand information that MRP and ConWIP can leverage to better manage inventory and responsiveness.
When comparing MRP and ConWIP, the story gets more nuanced. In the flow shop and hybrid shop environments, ConWIP actually outperformed MRP, especially at the lower 85% and 90% planned shop load levels. This is because ConWIP's work in progress control helped it better manage the production flow and avoid excessive inventory.
However, at the highest 95% planned shop load, MRP started to shine, overtaking ConWIP in these environments. Jen, what do you think might be driving that shift?
Well, I think it has to do with the increased complexity and congestion in the system at that higher planned shop load. MRP's centralized planning and longer planned lead times may be helping it better navigate those challenging conditions, whereas ConWIP's decentralized, more reactive approach starts to struggle a bit.
Exactly right. And in the job shop environment, MRP generally outperformed ConWIP, except at that highest 95% planned shop load, where ConWIP's focus on lead time reduction allowed it to achieve lower tardiness costs.
The researchers also did a deep dive into the optimal parameterization of each PPCS for the different environments. For MRP, they found that higher planned shop loads required increased safety stock levels to buffer against uncertainty. Interestingly, they also discovered that longer planned lead times could help offset the negative impacts of higher shop loads.
With RPS, the key finding was that higher planned shop loads led to significantly increased reorder points for finished goods inventory. This was to compensate for the longer replenishment times caused by machine congestion. But interestingly, the reorder points for components remained relatively stable.
And for ConWIP, the researchers observed that the estimated lead times for items matched closely with the planned lead times in MRP. However, the estimated lead times for components were notably longer, to account for the consistent lot sizes and lack of safety stock buffers in the ConWIP system.
These nuanced findings really highlight how the optimal configuration of these production planning and control systems can vary dramatically based on the specific manufacturing environment. Selecting the right PPCS and tuning it properly is critical for achieving the best production performance.
Absolutely. This study provides such valuable guidance for manufacturers as they navigate these complex decisions. By understanding how MRP, RPS, and ConWIP perform under different conditions, companies can make more informed choices about which system will work best for their unique operations.
And the researchers didn't stop there. They also pointed towards avenues for further research, such as exploring additional production system variables like machine breakdowns, as well as comparing ConWIP to other lesser-known planning systems like drum buffer rope and demand-driven MRP.
This is a fantastic example of rigorous, impactful operations research. The combination of a detailed simulation model, comprehensive experimental design, and clear communication of the findings makes this a standout study. Manufacturers facing these challenges would do well to closely examine the lessons from this work.
Agreed. This is the kind of research that can have a real-world impact, helping companies optimize their production planning and control systems to boost efficiency, reduce costs, and better meet customer demand. It's a great reminder of the power of simulation-based research to shed light on complex operational challenges.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into this fascinating study. Listeners, be sure to check out the full paper if you want to explore the details further. There's a wealth of valuable insights to unpack here.
We'll be back next time with another captivating research story. Until then, keep exploring the frontiers of science with us here at Curiosity Lab. Thanks for listening. Less than, body greater than, less than, reflections greater than.
Tom, I have to say, I found this study really insightful. As someone who works closely with manufacturing clients, I can see the immense practical value in these findings.
Definitely. The researchers did an excellent job of not just presenting the results, but really unpacking the nuances and implications. I was particularly struck by how the optimal configuration of these planning and control systems varied so much based on the production environment.
Absolutely. The level of detail and the systematic approach they took to evaluating all these different factors, the production system structure, the planned shop load, the specific planning parameters, it's really impressive. It shows how complex these manufacturing decisions can be.
Definitely. And I think the simulation-based methodology was key. By creating this detailed virtual model of the production environments, they were able to explore a much broader range of scenarios than would be feasible in a real-world study. That breadth of analysis is what really gives these findings such weight.
Agreed. The fact that they were able to test thousands of different parameter combinations is remarkable. It speaks to the power of simulation as a research tool, especially for tackling intricate operational problems like this.
Exactly. And I also appreciated how they didn't just present the results, but took the time to really unpack the underlying reasons and mechanisms driving the performance differences. The explanations around things like inventory buffers, congestion, and lead time management were super insightful.
Totally. It really helps the listener develop a deeper, more nuanced understanding of how these systems work and why certain configurations perform better in different situations. As you said, it's not just about the findings, but about communicating the why behind them.
Absolutely. This is the kind of research that I think can be truly transformative for manufacturers. By providing such clear guidance on how to optimize production planning and control, it has the potential to drive big improvements in efficiency, cost effectiveness, and customer service.
Couldn't agree more. This is the kind of work that makes a real difference in the real world. I'm really glad we had the chance to dig into it in depth on the podcast. Listeners are sure to come away with a much richer understanding of this important topic.
Definitely. Well said, Jane. Okay, let's wrap this up with a high-level recap of the key takeaways. What would you say are the most important things we learned from this study?
I'd say the top three takeaways are, 1. The optimal production planning and control system can vary dramatically based on the specific manufacturing environment, in terms of both production system structure and planned shop load. 2. MRP and CON-WIP generally outperform the more traditional RPS approach, but their relative performance depends heavily on the environmental factors. 3. Properly configuring the planning parameters for each PPCS is crucial. Things like safety stock, lead times, lot sizes, and work in progress caps can make a big difference in performance.
Excellent summary, Jane. This was a really insightful dive into a complex but important topic in operations research. I'm sure our listeners learned a ton, and I hope they're inspired to check out the full paper to explore these findings even further.
Absolutely. There's so much more depth and nuance to unpack here. But hopefully we were able to communicate the essence of this study in an engaging and accessible way. Manufacturing optimization is such a critical area, and studies like this are invaluable.
Well said. All right, let's sign off for now. Thanks again for joining me, Jen, and thanks to all our listeners for tuning into Curiosity Lab. We'll be back soon with more fascinating research stories. Until next time, keep exploring. Reflections > Conclusion >
This comparative simulation study on production planning and control systems provides a wealth of insights for manufacturers grappling with complex operational challenges. By systematically evaluating the performance of MRP, RPS, and CON-WIP across diverse production environments, the researchers have shed light on how to optimize these critical systems. The key takeaways are clear. The optimal PPCS can vary dramatically based on factors like production system structure and planned shop load. MRP and CON-WIP generally outshine the traditional RPS approach, but their relative performance depends heavily on the specific environment. And properly configuring the planning parameters, from safety stock to work in progress caps, is crucial for maximizing the effectiveness of these systems.
Absolutely. This research offers a roadmap for manufacturers seeking to enhance their production efficiency, reduce costs, and better meet customer demand. By understanding how to select and tune the right PPCS for their unique operations, companies can unlock significant competitive advantages.
Definitely. And the researchers have also pointed the way towards valuable avenues for future study, such as exploring the impacts of machine breakdowns and comparing these systems to other lesser-known approaches. As operations research continues to evolve, studies like this will only become more vital for guiding real-world decision-making.
Well said, Jane. This has been a fascinating deep dive into an impactful piece of operations research. We hope our listeners have gained a richer understanding of the complexities involved in production planning and control, and the importance of tailoring these systems to the unique needs of the manufacturing environment.
Absolutely. Thank you all for joining us on this journey through the latest scientific discoveries. We'll be back soon with more captivating research stories. Until then, keep exploring the frontiers of science with Curiosity Lab. > Conclusion >
Here's a funny, weird, and concise commercial for a new company that emerged from the research paper on production planning and control systems, less than commercial greater than. Are you a manufacturer struggling to find the right production planning system for your business?
Well, have we got the solution for you? Introducing ConMRP.
ConMRP is the revolutionary hybrid planning system that combines the best of both worlds, the centralized, forecast-driven approach of material requirements planning, and the pull-based, work-in-progress control of ConWIP.
That's right. ConMRP gives you the demand visibility of MRP, with the flow optimization of ConWIP. It's like a crystal ball for your factory floor.
No more guessing games, no more inventory nightmares. ConMRP will tell you exactly what to make, when to make it, and how much to make. And it does it all automatically.
Just set your ConMRP parameters, kick back, and watch your production performance skyrocket. Reduced lead times. Lower costs. Happier customers.
ConMRP, the production planning system that's like having your own personal manufacturing genie. Coming soon to transform your factory into a lean, mean, planning machine.
ConMRP, the future of production, today. Tom and Jen, call 1-800-CON-MRP now. Less than, commercial greater than.
Here is a detailed podcast episode transcript about the research paper backtesting expected shortfall, accounting for both duration and severity with bivariate orthogonal polynomials. Welcome to our award-winning podcast, where we investigate cutting-edge research papers with intrigue and depth. I'm Tom, and joining me as always is my co-host, Jane.
Hello everyone. Today we're diving into a fascinating paper that introduces a brand new approach to backtesting the expected shortfall, a crucial risk measure used by banks. The paper is titled Backtesting Expected Shortfall, Accounting for Both Duration and Severity with Bivariate Orthogonal Polynomials, and it's authored by Sullivan Hugh, Christoph Herlin, and Yang Liu.
This is an important paper, Jane. Ever since the Basel III Accord replaced value at risk with expected shortfall as the primary risk metric for banks, backtesting S has become essential. But existing S backtesting methods have some real limitations.
That's right, Tom. The key issue is that current approaches only look at the frequency of VAR violations, without differentiating between the frequency and the severity of those violations. But the S is all about the expected loss given that a violation occurs. So we really need to look at both the timing and the magnitude of the losses beyond VAR.
Exactly. And that's where the innovation of this paper comes in. The authors propose a two-part approach that separates the violation process, when losses exceed VAR, from the severity of those losses. This allows them to test the specification of both the frequency and the severity components independently.
That's a clever idea. By breaking it down into these two key elements, they can get a much more nuanced understanding of whether the bank's internal model is accurately capturing the full distribution of losses, not just the frequency of large losses.
Absolutely. And to analyze these two components, the durations between violations and the severities of the violations, the authors turn to the powerful mathematical tool of orthogonal polynomials. Can you explain a bit about how they use that, Jen?
Sure, Tom. The key insight is that if the bank's model is correctly specified, then the durations between VAR violations should follow a geometric distribution, and the severities of those violations should follow a uniform distribution. The authors show that you can characterize these distributions completely using orthogonal polynomials, specifically, Meixner polynomials for the durations and Legendre polynomials for the severities. By testing moment conditions involving these orthogonal polynomials, they can rigorously test whether the bank's model is correctly specifying both the frequency and the severity aspects of the losses.
That's really fascinating. And as you mentioned, the advantage of using orthogonal polynomials is that it allows them to test a large number of these moment conditions without running into issues with estimating high-dimensional covariance matrices.
Exactly. The orthogonality property means the test statistic has a very simple asymptotic chi-square distribution, making it easy to implement and interpret. And the authors show that by testing more of these moment conditions, they can actually increase the power of the test to detect misspecifications in the bank's model.
That's a clever approach. So in essence, they're taking advantage of the mathematical structure of these orthogonal polynomials to build a very flexible, yet tractable, backtesting framework. I can see how that would be a big improvement over existing methods.
Definitely. And the authors don't stop there. They also introduce the concept of using the durations between VAR violations, rather than just the violations themselves. This adds another layer of information that can help pinpoint the sources of model misspecification.
That's right. Analyzing the durations provides insights into the serial dependent structure of the losses, beyond just looking at the marginal distribution. And the authors show how this duration-based approach can be seamlessly integrated into their orthogonal polynomial framework.
Exactly. By combining the duration and severity information, along with the powerful tools of orthogonal polynomials, the authors have developed a very comprehensive backtesting methodology. It really addresses the key limitations of existing approaches.
This is an impressive piece of work. Not only have the authors made important conceptual advances, but they've also done a great job validating their approach through extensive simulation experiments.
Absolutely. The simulation results demonstrate that their test has excellent finite sample properties, with well-controlled size and high power against a variety of misspecified models. And the empirical application to stock index data provides really insightful examples of how the test can pinpoint the sources of model failure.
That's crucial. Being able to not just detect model problems, but also diagnose where the issues lie, is a big advantage. It gives risk managers a clear roadmap for improving their internal models.
Definitely. This paper really represents a major step forward in S backtesting. By incorporating both the frequency and severity dimensions, as well as leveraging the mathematical elegance of orthogonal polynomials, the authors have developed a powerful and flexible framework that addresses key limitations of prior approaches.
Absolutely. This is an outstanding piece of research that makes important contributions to both the theoretical and practical aspects of risk management. I'm really excited to see how this methodology gets adopted and builds on the current state of the art in S backtesting.
Me too, Tom. This is the kind of innovative, rigorous, and impactful work that we love to highlight on our podcast. It takes a complex topic and makes it accessible, all while telling a compelling story about the journey of discovery. I'm sure our listeners will find this episode just as fascinating as we do.
I agree, Jane. This paper is a great example of how cutting-edge financial research can be brought to life through engaging storytelling. By blending technical depth with relatable analogies and examples, the authors have produced something that is both informative and entertaining.
Absolutely. And that's really what we aim for with this podcast, to shine a light on the incredible work being done by researchers around the world, and to share it in a way that captivates and informs our audience. This paper on S backtesting is a perfect fit for that mission.
Well said, Jane. I think we've done justice to this remarkable paper, and I'm sure our listeners are as eager as we are to see what other groundbreaking research the future holds. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of discovery with us.
Here is a funny, weird, and concise commercial for a new company that resulted from the research paper backtesting expected shortfall, accounting for both duration and severity with bivariate orthogonal polynomials. Are you a bank struggling to properly backtest your expected shortfall models?
Have you been looking for a way to analyze both the frequency and severity of your losses beyond value at risk?
Then you need polynomially perfect portfolios.
Our cutting-edge technology uses advanced bivariate orthogonal polynomials to transform your risk management nightmares into geometrically distributed daydreams.
That's right, polynomially perfect portfolios takes the guesswork out of backtesting. Our Meeksner-powered duration analysis and legendary-fueled severity assessment will have your accountants doing cartwheels.
No more high-dimensional covariance matrices bogging you down. Just simple chi-square statistics that even your most risk-averse regulators can understand.
So stop letting your expected shortfall keep you up at night. Let polynomially perfect portfolios put the show back in your risk measurement.
Visit polynomiallyperfect.com and start backtesting with the power of orthogonal polynomials today.
Polynomially perfect portfolios, because your bank's future shouldn't be left to chance. Here is the podcast episode transcript. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Discoveries podcast, where we dive deep into the latest groundbreaking research. I'm your host, Tom.
And I'm Jen. In this episode, we'll be exploring a fascinating paper that introduces a novel methodology for transforming investment strategies and strategic decision-making in financial markets.
The title of the paper is Transforming Investment Strategies and Strategic Decision-Making, Unveiling a Novel Methodology for Enhanced Performance and Risk Management in Financial Markets. It's written by a team of researchers, Tian Tian, Ricky Cooper, Zhao Deng, and Qingquan Zhang.
This paper presents a revolutionary approach to forecasting index returns, blending cutting-edge deep learning techniques with the strategic integration of highly correlated stock prices, key factors, and advanced portfolio optimization. Let's dive in and unpack all the fascinating details.
The core of this research is the construction of an industry index using a carefully selected group of heavily correlated stocks from the heavy machinery sector. The researchers chose this industry as an example because of its significant economic impact, global reach, and cyclical nature.
Absolutely, and the process of selecting the companies to represent this industry index is really robust. They used a composite scoring system that evaluated factors like economic impact, global reach, capital expenditure, cyclical nature, industry-specific dynamics, and market sentiment.
Right, so they ended up with a group of 8 key companies: Caterpillar, Deere, CNH Industrial, AGCO, Terex, Manitowoc, Aztec Industries, and Komatsu. And the daily data for these 8 companies showed a very high level of correlation, which is crucial for building an effective industry index.
Exactly, the high correlation among these 8 companies indicates that their stock prices move in sync, reflecting the overall performance and trends within the heavy machinery industry. This is a key characteristic that enables the construction of a representative industry index.
But the researchers didn't stop there. They recognized that relying solely on the historical data of the industry index may not be enough to accurately predict its future performance. So, they expanded their dataset to include additional factors, 6 major indexes and 5 ETFs.
That's a really smart move. By incorporating these broader market indicators and investment vehicles, the researchers aim to enhance the predictive accuracy of their models. Factors like the S&P 500, Dow Jones Industrial Average, NASDAQ Composite, and even 10-year Treasury yields and crude oil prices can provide valuable insights into the industry's performance.
Absolutely. And the inclusion of ETFs that track different investment styles, such as momentum, quality, value, size, and low volatility, further enriches the dataset. These factors can help the models better understand the underlying market dynamics and investor preferences that influence the industry index.
That's a fascinating approach. Rather than relying solely on the historical data of the industry index, they're leveraging a much broader set of information to build a more comprehensive and accurate predictive model. It's like looking at the industry through a wider lens.
Exactly. And to handle all of this data and build the industry index, the researchers used a sophisticated portfolio optimization technique called hierarchical risk parity, or HRP for short.
HRP is really interesting because it takes a different approach than traditional mean variance optimization. Instead of just focusing on maximizing returns for a given level of risk, HRP considers the hierarchical structure of asset correlations to achieve optimal risk diversification.
That's right. HRP groups the companies into clusters based on their correlations, and then allocates weights to each company within those clusters, ensuring that the overall portfolio is well diversified and resilient to market shocks.
The beauty of HRP is that it's able to handle noisy or unreliable correlations, which can be a common challenge in financial data. By considering the higher level structure of the data, HRP is more robust and adaptable to changing market conditions.
Absolutely. And the results of using HRP to build the industry index are really impressive. Compared to more traditional approaches like equal weighing or cap-weighted indexing, HRP is able to capture the nuances of the industry and create a more representative and stable index.
Now, once they had this robust industry index constructed using HRP, the researchers turned their attention to forecasting its future performance. And this is where the deep learning models come into play.
Right. The researchers tested both LSTM and CNN-LSTM models for predicting the industry index returns. LSTM, or long-short-term memory, is a type of recurrent neural network that's particularly well-suited for handling time series data.
And the researchers found that the LSTM model alone, while able to capture the overall trend of the index, struggled to accurately predict the finer details of the fluctuations. That's where the CNN-LSTM hybrid model really shines.
Exactly. By incorporating convolutional neural networks, or CNNs, before the LSTM layers, the researchers were able to leverage the spatial feature extraction capabilities of CNNs to better identify patterns in the industry index data.
The combination of CNN and LSTM creates a powerful synergy. The CNN layers can extract meaningful spatial features from the input data, while the LSTM layers excel at capturing the temporal dependencies and long-term patterns. This leads to significantly improved prediction accuracy.
And when the researchers added the additional factors, like the indexes and ETFs, to the dataset, the performance of both the LSTM and CNN-LSTM models improved dramatically. The average root mean square error, or RMSE, was reduced by over 80% compared to using just the industry index data alone.
That's a remarkable improvement. By incorporating this broader set of information, the models were able to better understand the complex relationships and dynamics that influence the industry index. It's like painting a much more detailed and accurate picture of the market.
Absolutely. And the implications of this research are really significant. Companies and investors now have access to a powerful set of tools to assess industry performance, manage risks, and make more informed strategic decisions.
Exactly. The industry index constructed using HRP provides a comprehensive and reliable benchmark for companies to evaluate their own performance relative to their peers. And the deep learning models, enhanced by the additional factors, offer unprecedented accuracy in forecasting industry trends and fluctuations.
This opens up a world of possibilities. Companies can now align their strategic initiatives more closely with market trajectories, identify key competitors, and navigate volatility with greater resilience. And investors can calibrate their portfolios with surgical precision, sidestepping industry-specific pitfalls and capitalizing on market opportunities.
It's truly a transformative approach that redefines decision-making paradigms in the financial world. By blending cutting-edge techniques, the researchers have unlocked a profound understanding of market dynamics, empowering both investment entities and individual enterprises to thrive in the complex tapestry of financial realms.
Absolutely. This research marks a pivotal moment in economic discourse, and we can't wait to see how it influences the future of investment strategies and strategic decision-making. There's so much more to unpack, but we've only scratched the surface. Stay tuned for more exciting discoveries.
Definitely. This has been a fascinating exploration of a truly groundbreaking paper. The combination of industry index construction, portfolio optimization, and deep learning forecasting is a game changer in the world of finance. We can't wait to see what other innovations emerge from this field.
Thanks for joining us on this journey of discovery. Remember to subscribe and stay tuned for more episodes where we dive deep into the latest cutting-edge research. Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of knowledge.
Absolutely. This is Tom and Jen, signing off. Happy listening.
Here is a silly, whimsical commercial for a new company that emerged from the research in the Transforming Investment Strategies and Strategic Decision-Making paper. Are you tired of making risky investment decisions that keep you up at night?
Worried that your portfolio is as volatile as a newborn giraffe on a tightrope?
Introducing Robo Llama Investments.
Our state-of-the-art AI llama will analyze the market, crunch the numbers, and make investment decisions that are as stable and dependable as a rock. No more sleepless nights, just sweet llama dreams.
Robo Llama uses cutting-edge deep learning algorithms, combined with the wisdom of actual llamas, to construct a diversified portfolio tailored to your needs.
Because when it comes to your money, you want an investment team that's as reliable as a llama wearing galoshes.
Simply input your risk tolerance, financial goals, and favorite alpaca sweater patterns, and Robo Llama does the rest.
Sit back, relax, and let our fluffy, data-driven friend handle your investments. No more guesswork, just steady returns and a soothing hum of contented llama noises.
Robo Llama Investments, where your money is as safe as a llama in a herd of sheep.
Call 1-800-LLAMA-BUCKS to start investing today.
Welcome to the award-winning podcast where we dive deep into cutting-edge research. I'm Tom, and with me is my co-host, Jane.
Hi there, listeners. Today, we're thrilled to discuss a fascinating paper titled Explainable Risk Classification in Financial Reports from the 44th International Conference on Information Systems in Hyderabad, India. This research tackles a critical challenge in the financial sector, using artificial intelligence to assess the risk profiles of companies while providing transparent explanations for those assessments.
That's right, Jane. The financial industry has long relied on traditional risk analysis methods, like looking at credit scores and financial statements. But these approaches can be time-consuming and limited in their ability to uncover complex patterns in the data. Enter machine learning and natural language processing, powerful tools that can rapidly analyze vast troves of financial information to identify potential risk factors.
Exactly, Tom. The authors of this paper recognize that while machine learning models can be incredibly accurate at risk classification, they often suffer from a major drawback. They're like black boxes, with no clear explanation of how they arrived at their predictions. This lack of transparency can erode trust and make it difficult for financial institutions to justify their risk assessments, especially when they need to comply with strict regulations.
That's a great point, Jane. The researchers set out to address this challenge by developing a new model called FEINBERT-XRC, which stands for the FEINBERT Explainable Risk Classifier. FeinBERTXRC is built on top of FeinBERT, a language model that has been specially trained on a large corpus of financial documents, giving it a deep understanding of the nuances of financial language.
The key innovation of FeinBERTXRC is that it doesn't just spit out a risk classification, it also provides explanations at three different levels: the word level, the sentence level, and the corpus level. Let's start with the word level.
Right, the word level explanations are pretty fascinating. FeinBERTXRC looks at the attention scores assigned to each word in the input text, which indicate how much the model is focusing on that word when making its prediction. By summing up the attention scores for each word, the model can identify the most important words that are driving its risk assessment.
For example, in documents associated with non-risky companies, the model might highlight words like forward, meaningful, and profit as having high attention scores. Whereas in documents for risky companies, words like aggressive, plaintiffs, and increased labor expenses would stand out. This gives users a clear window into the specific textual features the model is zeroing in on.
Exactly, and the sentence level explanations take this a step further. FeinBERTXRC identifies the top sentences within a document that are contributing the most to the risk classification. So users can quickly scan these key sentences to understand the core issues and challenges a company is facing.
One example the paper provides is a set of sentences from a risky company, which mention things like declining product sales, net losses, and reduced revenues. Just by reading these highlighted sentences, you get a concise summary of the company's financial troubles.
And perhaps the most unique aspect of FeinBERTXRC is its corpus-level explanations. The model generates word clouds that visualize the most important words across the entire set of documents associated with a given risk classification. This allows users to step back and see the bigger picture, the overarching themes and trends that are driving risk assessments.
Absolutely, Tom. The paper includes a great example of a word cloud for risky companies in a particular year, where the word AMCON stands out prominently. Further investigation revealed that AMCON was a real company whose stock price plummeted during that time period, validating the model's risk assessment. This corpus-level view is invaluable for identifying broader patterns that might be missed when focusing only on individual documents.
The researchers really thought through the importance of explainability in the financial sector. As they point out, algorithms like FeinBERTXRC are increasingly being used to make high-stakes decisions, so it's critical that their reasoning is transparent and accountable. Regulators, stakeholders, and financial institutions need to understand how these models arrive at their conclusions.
Exactly, Tom. And the FeinBERTXRC model not only provides this much-needed explainability, but it also outperforms the current state-of-the-art model in terms of predictive accuracy. In their experiments on a large dataset of 10,000 financial reports spanning 6 years, FeinBERTXRC consistently achieved higher F1 scores than the previous top model, the XRR.
That's really impressive. It just goes to show that you don't have to sacrifice performance for the sake of transparency. FeinBERTXRC is able to leverage the power of advanced natural language processing techniques like FeinBERT and attention mechanisms to deliver both accurate risk assessments and comprehensive explanations.
Absolutely, Tom. This research is a great example of how AI can be applied responsibly and effectively in the financial domain. By providing explanations at multiple levels, FeinBERTXRC empowers users to truly understand the factors driving a company's risk profile, rather than just accepting a black box prediction.
And as the researchers point out, this has all sorts of practical benefits. Financial professionals can use these insights to make more informed investment decisions, regulators can ensure compliance with risk assessment requirements, and individual investors can gain a clearer picture of the risks in their portfolios.
Exactly, Tom. This kind of transparent, explainable AI is the future of finance. It builds trust, enables better decision-making, and ensures that these powerful algorithms are serving the needs of the people who rely on them.
Well said, Jane. This has been a really fascinating deep dive into a cutting-edge piece of research. As we wrap up, I'm curious to hear your final thoughts. What do you think is the biggest takeaway from this paper?
That's a great question, Tom. For me, the biggest takeaway is the importance of balancing performance and explainability in AI systems, especially in high-stakes domains like finance. FeinBERTXRC shows that you don't have to sacrifice one for the other. You can have both accurate risk classification and comprehensive, understandable explanations. That's a powerful combination that I think we'll see more of as AI becomes more deeply integrated into critical decision-making processes.
I completely agree, Jane. This research really pushes the boundaries of what's possible with explainable AI, and it's an exciting glimpse into the future of how these advanced technologies can be leveraged responsibly and transparently. I can't wait to see what other innovative applications of FiendBERT XRC and similar models emerge in the financial sector and beyond.
Absolutely, Tom. This is just the beginning. I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot more groundbreaking work in this space. Thanks to all our listeners for joining us on this deep dive into explainable risk classification in financial reports. It was a pleasure unpacking this fascinating research with you.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of science and technology with us. Are you tired of black box AI models that spit out risk assessments without any explanation?
Introducing RiskBERT, the only explainable AI assistant that can read your company's financial reports like a Wall Street wizard on steroids.
With RiskBERT, you'll get risk classifications faster than a lightning bolt, and explanations so clear, even your grandma could understand them.
Need to know which words are driving your risk score through the roof? RiskBERT's got you covered with attention-grabbing word-level explanations.
Want the key sentences that are making your investors lose sleep at night? RiskBERT highlights them for you, no fine print required.
And if you really want to dive deep, RiskBERT generates word clouds that reveal the underlying themes behind your company's risk profile.
It's like having a team of financial analysts, data scientists, and crystal ball readers all rolled into one convenient AI package.
So stop flying blind and start using RiskBERT, the explainable risk classifier that's about to turn the financial world upside down.
RiskBERT, because your company's future is too important to leave to black box algorithms.
Visit riskbert.com to start your free trial today.